You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, Middleton High School students tackled issues of student activism and sexual assault in a podcast for a nationwide NPR challenge. We'll hear from two of those students about how it all went. Right now, it's time for our weekly state news roundup, where we check in with reporters around Wisconsin about the stories they've been covering. First, Governor Evers said this week that the state's plan to replace the Lincoln Hills Youth Prison with smaller regional facilities by 2021 might be unrealistic. One of those new facilities is slated to be built in the small town of Hortonia in Outagamie County, and residents there are pushing back against the plan. Mika Solner is a political and local reporter for USA Today Network Wisconsin. Mika, welcome to Central Time.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Well, what do we know about why Hortonia, a town of about 1,000 people, was chosen as a site for one of the new youth prisons to replace the troubled Lincoln Hills youth facility?
So Hortonia was chosen for a couple different reasons. One is that there's state-owned land there on the proposed site. And secondly, it was chosen because of its close proximity to inmates' homes and families. It sits right in the middle of Outagamie County, close to Appleton, not a far drive from Green Bay or Oshkosh either.
As I understand it, one of the concerns of the community that you write about was that nobody seemed to know this was coming. Is that right?
Right, and that was probably the biggest concern I've heard from local officials and residents, is that they felt kind of betrayed by the state. The town chairman found out through reading it in an article in a local newspaper. So locals say that they feel like they had no say in the state's decision.
What do we know about the facility, the size, the timeline, that kind of thing, the basics?
So we know that there's going to be about 36 inmates. It's going to be smaller than Lincoln Hills and both Copper Lake School for Girls. And so it's kind of on hold right now. We have to wait until funding is approved by the Joint Finance Committee. This week, we did see Republicans on the committee pull out that $80 million that was authorized for the new youth prisons. So this could delay closing Lincoln Hills, but we do know that the plan is to make it for families to visit inmates easier, so the state is looking for the solution to make them more modern, make them more like schools, less like prison facilities, to create this kind of new atmosphere for them.
Before we get into more local objections to this plan, you did write that at least one business leader was pointing out the possibility of more jobs coming along if this facility is built in Hortonia.
Right. So the proposed site sits right next to New London, and the mayor of New London is very much in favor of the proposed site. They think it could bring, you know, quite a few jobs into the area and actually increase that economic development. And they think that people can commute there and it will bring people to try their restaurants and maybe use their hotels and other things, like if the prison is actually built there.
Getting back to concerns from local residents, apart from the lack of early notification and input, what kind of concerns did you hear local residents raising?
So locals are also concerned about the safety and security of their community. They don't have a police presence in Hortonia, their own at least. They are also concerned about the halt of economic growth and development in that area. They think that prison will drive new businesses away from building there. And additionally, locals who do own homes are concerned about possibly their property values going down if they are sitting close by to a prison.
Is there any organized local opposition to the proposed facility?
Yeah, so there is a local grassroots movement that's been organized by some of the concerned locals who live in both New London and the Hortonia area. And their goal is to send a message to the state, kind of raising their opposition to the plan, and letting them know that they don't want this like near them and why they think that it is an inappropriate site for them to build the facility there.
Have you heard anything from lawmakers who represent the area?
We do know that there was a letter sent by several Republicans who, you know, are representing this region and beyond about, you know, how they oppose the site, how the process with how the state announced it was, they felt that that was wrong. Senator Cole has been particularly vocal in his opposition. And I believe that locals have been in contact with him too, to try and get him to, you know, create opposition to the state too.
Mika, thanks a lot for bringing us up to date on this.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Mika Solner is a politics and local reporter for the USA Today Network Wisconsin. We talked with her about how residents in Hortonia are reacting to the state's plan to build a new youth correctional facility in the town. Now, Governor Evers issued an executive order yesterday reestablishing Wisconsin's Pardon Review Board. He had promised to do that during last year's election campaign. Governor Scott Walker didn't issue pardons during his 8 years in office. Rich Kramer is WPR's reporter based in Eau Claire. Rich, thanks a lot for being with us.
Thanks for having me, Rob.
Well, this new resumed state pardon board, what would this board do, Rich?
Well, they'll consider and make recommendations to the governor for inmates and people who have been released from prison but would like to remove felonies from their criminal records. So people like that have done their time but are having trouble getting jobs or certifications because of a felony, drug charge that they got when they were a teenager.
So this is not about commuting sentences currently being served, is that right?
That's right. Yeah, this is separate, but it is something that was quite common under former Republican and Democratic governors. Tommy Thompson back during his term, and Scott McCallum and Democratic Governor Doyle, they had pardoned hundreds of people. Hundreds.
Now we have this new board being created. What kind of people who's serving on this board now that it's going to exist again?
So there's nine members. The head of, and this is in the executive order, the head of the board will be the chief legal counsel for the governor. Currently, that is Ryan Nielsestuen, who is a former deputy secretary of the Department of Corrections. The other members are Jerry Hancock of the Prison Ministry Project, Nate Holton, who's works with the Milwaukee County Transit System but has also done things for the court, retired Judge Jeffrey Kramers, Wisconsin Deputy Secretary of the Department of Corrections, currently Cindy O'Donnell, and Nadia Perez Reyes of the State Department of Children and Families.
You also talked to a Republican state representative, Michael Schrah of Oshkosh, who had thoughts on the pardon board. What kind of things did you hear from him?
Well, his main concern was that this was created through executive order. He said he's not a big fan of those executive-type decisions, but he did say he's a fan of the pardon process, and he thinks that it should come back. He says he actually mentioned possibly reducing the prison population, and he specifically mentioned what are known as old law inmates. These are people who are serving prison sentences for crimes committed prior to 1999. That is when the state enacted what are called truth in sentencing laws, basically eliminating parole for people who convict crimes after that. But there are still more than 2,000 inmates currently serving in prisons who are eligible for parole but have not received them. So Schrah thinks that this could be one way to address that.
And Rich, do we have a sense of a timeline on when the pardon board could swing into action?
I wish I had that, Rob. That was one of the things that I was scrambling to try to find yesterday. It's not laid out in the executive order. It wasn't laid out in the press release from the governor's office. So we're still waiting on those details.
And Governor Evers had also run with the idea of trying to bring down the state's prison population. You mentioned a Republican representative talking about that a little bit as well. And this idea of people, as you said, who were imprisoned before the truth in sentencing law. Is there any indication here that that might be a next step after this initial pardon board gets going?
It's hard to say what the next step might be. I mean, I spoke with David Liners, who's the executive director for one of the top prison reform groups in Wisconsin known as Wisdom, based in Milwaukee. And he said that he expects the first, and it's speculation, but he expects the first pardons will have to do with people who are looking to get their records free of these felonies that might be stopping them from getting jobs or certifications. Then he said after that, they'll start to look at people who may have been over-sentenced in his terms during the tough-on-crime era of the early or late 1990s and early 2000s.
Rich, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
That's Rich Kramer, WPR reporter in Eau Claire, looking at Governor Evers' newly announced pardon board. Finally, a Boston-based company is auctioning off a set of designs for a home located on Wausau's Grand Avenue. Designs hand-drawn by famed Wisconsin architect Frank Lloyd Wright. Keith Ulig is a human interest reporter, a features reporter for the Wausau Daily Herald. Keith, welcome back to Central Time.
Hi, Rob. How are you doing?
Good. Well, tell us about these plans that went on the auction block.
Well, these plans, I don't think that they were drawn specifically by Frank Lloyd Wright, but they were drawn in his shop in Taliesin.
Ah.
And he also, he approved them. There is a, on the bottom of the plans, it's like one large sheet of paper from my under, from the description, and he in pencil initialed them. And he had a hand in designing this house. The house was owned by Dewey and Julia Wright. It's the same spelling, but no relation. And they went down to meet with him, probably in 1957 or 1956, and the house was built in 1958.
So people had the opportunity to bid on a set of plans under the auspices of Frank Lloyd Wright. It's got his initials on them. What ended up happening with the auction?
The auction, there were several bids. It went to $5,000, which I think to me and you, Rob, that seems like a lot of money for some architectural drawings. But that wasn't enough for the seller. And we don't know who the seller is. But it did not meet the reserve price. So I was told that our auction will put it on hold and put it up for a bid sometime in the future.
And Keith, as we wrap up, I understand a kitchen was one of the key designs here, a Frank Lloyd Wright-style kitchen design.
It's the kitchen itself, and there are a variety of perspectives of the kitchen, and it's like a sort of a semicircle, not quite the size of a semicircle, and it shows where the appliances would go, storage, a movable work table with a laminated maple top. Sounds nice. A little like a breakfast nook or a little nook with seats and stuff.
If money were no object, Keith, would you put this up on the wall for a good conversation starter?
You know what I would do? I would make a copy of it, and then I would recreate it. I'd use those plans to recreate the kitchen, put a wing off of my own house here in Wausau.
Fantastic. Keith, thanks a lot for joining us.
You're welcome. Take care, Rob.
That's Keith Ulig, reporter with the Wausau Daily Herald. He told us about designs for a Wausau home by Frank Lloyd Wright's crew. Those designs were up for auction, might be up again. We wrapped up our weekly check there on stories from around the state.